Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Today is the God of Miracles, session 15, entitled Activity of Angels and Demons. Now, I just want to give you a little bit of a heads up that today's session is as much to equip you in kind of a beginning point, as much to equip you as it is to encourage you to pursue, you know, encounters with the Lord. Part of the fight that I had in getting ready for this message was, because it's not a whole series on this, I'm having to cram a lot in, and I'm not going to give you near as much of the practical stuff as I wish I could. I'm just going to kind of like introduce you to some ideas today, and I'm going to tell some stories. And as always, I'm going to tell stories that are personal experiences, and part of the reason that I'm giving you those personal experiences and the Word of God is to help you see the reality of these things and for you to be able to make them as tangible as possible and go, wow, well, Brad's either crazy or he's telling the truth. And if he's telling the truth, then wow, those are some very interesting things that can happen in life. And then to give you a bit of a framework for how to interpret experiences in the Lord and what to do with them. And again, there's lots more equipping on how to handle these things, what to do with them, how to pray about them, how to process them, that really it's one of the reasons we want you in a small group, so that your small group leader, I can drop the hand grenade today, and then your small group leader can pick up the pieces and help you in the discipleship process. But, you know, this subject, when we're talking about the God of miracles, it seems inappropriate to me to do a holistic series on miracles and not talk about the activity of angels and not include the activity of demons. Because honestly, anytime there's demonic activity, if you engage the kingdom of God, now there's a power moment, and now you've got miracles that are actually on the flip side of a demonic encounter, of something happening in the demonic realm. And so we're not going to be able to go deep into the theology of angels and demons today, but we are going to talk about it. And because it really touches the subject of the miraculous. And these are, again, part of my desire in this series is to help give you some framework for what life as a Christian looks like when you are pursuing Jesus all in. There are all sorts of things that occur in life, all sorts of things. And I'm going to share some personal experiences, but I'm hoping today to give you some framework for experiences related to angels and demons. Now, of course, we want to see angels do stuff, right? And we don't want demons ever, but we don't get to pick. Because unfortunately, demons are real too. And so it's better to go ahead and equip us and get us at least a little bit of a framework for the fact of demonic activity so that we can know that it happens and then begin to at least start down the road of knowing what to do when it starts to happen, okay? All right, well, I'm going to give you the word, Ephesians 6, 10 through 12. I so appreciate Paul talking to us about life. He approaches life from so many different angles. And what he does is he frequently throws out radically difficult truths just straight out. He just says it like, I'm telling you the truth, and I'm not even asking whether you want to believe this or not. This is reality. Swallow it. And so he says this in Ephesians 6, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. There's that power word again, talking about the God of miracles. So now let's talk about how the God of mighty power relates to what's about to happen, about what he's about to say. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. You guys know the whole armor of God passage? Do you know it has everything to do with fighting demons? Did you know that? It's not cute. It's not the Sunday school lesson for the kids, the cute little, you know, we put on, yeah, man, see. This is about spiritual warfare and fighting demons. That's what Paul's talking about. He says, put on the armor of God to fight off demonic schemes, the devil's plans against your life. This is so intense. It's like, Paul, did you know that there were children in the church of Ephesus? Yeah, he knew, and he wanted to equip them too. I mean, we don't hold back around here. And so parents, you know, you're going to hear some things today that your kids are going to go, Mommy, and you're going to have to go and deal with that at home. And I'm actually thankful for that. That you get the opportunity to disciple your kids in some difficult things. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's scheme for our struggle. Other translations say our fight, our battle. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against mean people and stupid people. And there are both. It is not against mean and stupid people. It's against demonic powers that, oh yeah, happen to be influencing mean people or whatever. It says, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Guys, this is just as much the Bible as John 3:16. This is the Bible. Now, what that means is, we know John 3:16, God so loved the world. We get it. And we try to do our best to live out of that reality. Paul is trying to help us identify there is a spiritual battle, a real one, not a fake one, not on the other side of the world, in this room today and in Arlington and in your homes. There is a spiritual battle being waged. Now, I just want to ask you the question, how well is it going to go for you if you're in the middle of a war, like two nations fighting against each other, and you just casually walk out into the battlefield just kind of strolling, just kind of walking towards the enemy camp, unaware, not caring at all? You're in a war and scarcely aware of it. It's not going to go well for you. You're going to wind up upgraded upstairs real quick, okay? We are in a spiritual battle and we don't talk about it enough, so we're living in a war pretending like we're in a time of peace. But we're actually in a war, in a war. And if we're not thinking about that war and the components of that war, if we're never giving any attention to that, if that's not part of our framework and part of our perspective of life, we're actually living in unreality. And it's intense because Paul says, oh yeah, we're in a battle, we're in a fight, but you can't see the guys you're fighting against because they're demons and they're like invisible most of the time. And we're really in a fight. And you better put on the armor of God or you're gonna get slapped around a lot. Like, this is so intense. This is Christianity. Here's the thing. This was true yesterday when you didn't know it and yesterday when you didn't believe it. It was still true. It was true whether you believe it, whether you're engaging in it or not. It's reality and there are consequences. So I would rather, as we're in a series on the miraculous, and this passage starts off, stand in the Lord's mighty power. Experience the power of God. Experience the miraculous power of God. And that's the answer to the spiritual fight, is that we engage the kingdom of God. We engage the Holy Spirit. I want to equip you today. I mean, just in the most basic sense. Again, this is like such a 101 teaching today. But there's more out there. We've got more. There's plenty of training and instruction and teaching on these things. If you find yourself in a moment where you're like, you know what? I think I need to get a little bit more equipped in this. Today is not going to be a total equipping. Today's going to be an introduction. But in the most basic sense, I want to equip you to interpret experiences with angels and demons. In the most basic sense, most elementary way. Many of you have had these experiences, and maybe you didn't know what to do with them. Many of you have had these experiences and didn't know you were having them, and today when I tell you some of mine, you're going to go, well, I'll be darned. I had the same thing happen to me this morning on the way here. And my hope is to try to, like, normalize this, because it's normal. It's actually happening. It's part of the kingdom. It's part of the way that things go. It's part of life on the planet. Well, let's start with some good news. Angels are from God, and they're identified as ministering spirits. Ministering spirits. I just love that term. Let's put up the Hebrews 1 and then the Matthew 18. Yeah, the Hebrews 1 first. That's great. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who inherit salvation? Are not 100% of angels serving the body of Christ? Yes! I can live and not die if that's the case, because I hear there's a bunch of them up there. Are not all angels ministering spirits? You know what ministering spirits is? You know we do ministry time a lot of times in service? We like have you come up, we lay hands on you, we pray for you, and that kind of stuff. That's what angels are doing. Angels are ministering, they're attending, they're helping, they're engaging, they're engaging in ministry to help saved people. This is so great. I'm a saved people. I got angels on my side. I love this plan. Again, we're so blind to it, though. And that's part of the reason that Paul taught on it. It's part of the reason we need to teach on it. It's part of the reason we need to actually spend time talking about uncomfortable things, because it's reality. It's like, if I got cancer, don't tell me I don't. Like, I want to know so I can do something about it. I can at least pray. Don't tell me all that giant thing growing out of your head. It's just a mole. You'll be fine. It's like, if it ain't, then tell me the truth. Ministering spirits sent. Sent by who? By the Lord. To do what? To serve. Angels sent, dispatched by God to serve the body of Christ. Well, if they're serving me, I would rather be more aware of that than less aware of that. I'd rather know how to engage in that in appropriate ways, in biblical ways. I would rather know what to do. I would rather know when it's time to, like, angels, help me, do something. I would rather know what to do than pretend that it's not real and just be like, angels and demons, that's just too weird. I can't handle that. Listen, I gave up a long time ago trying to define my terms. Here are my terms, B-I-B-L-E. If this says it, I want it. And I want to do it the way that the Bible says to do it. Next verse, Matthew 18:10. I love this. Jesus says, at least the children. And what's funny about children is they grow up. So then a children becomes a non-children and then an older person. And I don't think that the angels just give up once you hit, 12 years old or whatever. But look what this says. See that you do not despise one of these little ones. Talking about the kids. Jesus is pointing at kids. He says, for I tell you, they're angels. They're angels in heaven. Always see the face of my Father in heaven. These kids, and again, if they're kids, like, oh, sorry, you turned 11, you don't get an angel anymore. No, that's not how that works. He's making a point, even the children. And then, yes, when a child turns 11, 12, 15, whatever. Because remember, all the angels in heaven are dispatched in order to serve humans. Okay? So here we are looking at it. Even the children have angels assigned to their aid. Listen, I'm just telling you, if there are angels assigned to Riker's aid, I want to be engaging those angels because, boy, howdy, that dude needs it. All right? I want to know what the Word of God says, and I want to embrace what the Word of God says. And the Word of God says, Riker has at least one angel, and I bet you if everybody else has got one, he's got two. Okay? All right. What are they here to do? To minister. What else? How about Luke 22:43? An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. Angels strengthen. We actually see that frequently. See, John and Daniel, in his encounters in the book of Daniel, an angel would come and would strengthen him. So angels give strength. There's a lot of times where I need strength. Now listen, I don't have all that figured out. What I do know is the Word of God says multiple times, angels give strength to weak humans. Then I want strength from angels, because apparently that's how God does it. It's not how he does it every time, all the time, but it's part of the package. Okay? Angels strengthen humans. What else? They protect. Daniel 6:22. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of lions. How'd those mouths of lions get shut? They just get gum in their mouth or a bunch of peanut butter and just couldn't open their mouths? An angel got that lion in like an arm bar and was holding the lion's mouth. And it couldn't do it because a strong angel shut the lion's mouth. Can you just imagine being able to see that in the natural? See this big old kitty cat having a real rough day? Like being tackled by an angel, and the angel's like, listen, I don't care what you do with your tail or what you do with the back paws, but you are not going to open that mouth. He used an angel to protect Daniel. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in the sight of God. A big old furry critter can't hurt you when an angel says no. When a lion, lions can eat you. Not when an angel says no. Because a lion doesn't have authority where an angel comes and steps in when an angel is dispatched to serve those that will inherit salvation. See? To protect us. All right, this is all really good. I'm really excited. We got to talk about the other side. Because there is no war unless there's two sides. I mean, there's no fight that's ever happened that's just a one-sided fight. Maybe the other person just laid down, but there were at least two sides every time. Demons are real. I don't like that, but I don't want to hide that from my children. I want my children to know angels are real and so are demons. Evil is real, so is righteousness. Wickedness, repentance. I want our kids to see, you know, weakness and strength. I want our kids to understand the reality of what's happening around us, and demons are real. And they're defined not as ministering spirits, they're defined as evil spirits or dark spirits. See what the word says. Jesus, his ministry, Luke 7:21, at that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits. And he gave sight to many who were blind. Jesus walked around and he cured people of spirits. I love it that at least in this scenario, a demon infecting, you know, harassing, whatever the terminology could be for an individual. In this case, Luke, the doctor who understands the whole concept of, you know, medicine and everything else, Luke says, yeah, he cured people who had evil spirits. Yeah, this one had a disease. This one had a demon. He just went ahead and cured him. I'll cure you of that demon. We'll help you out there. Cured of evil spirits. They are evil spirits. And there are evil spirits that people need to be cured of. I mean, that's a real part of this too. And it's no less real than the angels. Acts 19:12 says, even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. Evil spirits. Ministering spirits, angels. Evil spirits, harassing ones. Ones that cause you problems. Ones that are difficult. But both are spirits, and both are real. And we've got to start to recognize the reality, the spiritual fight of what's going on. But we do not need to fear demons. Greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. And demons are real, and you do not need to fear them. You do need to know how to accurately react to them, respond to them, interact with them. You need to know those things, but you don't need to fear them. We were not given a spirit of fear. We are deeply loved by God. Do you realize that? We are deeply loved by God. Yes, there are demons. We do not need to fear them. We are deeply loved by God. I had this this revelation. I've been looking for an opportunity to preach this. This is great. It just came to my mind. This week, I just had this revelation about the authority of God by comparison to the authority of Satan. Do you know that says that Satan is the god of this earth? He's the god of this earth. That's not exciting, but what it means is he has got a measure of demonic power and authority over this earth. Do you know how many planets there are in the universe? A bajillion times 10 million times a quazillion. Lots of more. Many. Satan has no authority over any of those. God does. Now think about the difference in power here. Okay? Satan has some authority over one speck of dust called planet E. Okay? God has all authority over all of creation and a bajillion galaxies and everything else. This is how disproportionate the two powers are. Let us never think Satan has anything in comparison to the level of authority and power that God has. God is the creator of all things. One of the things he created was a dude named Satan. Okay? Satan has a measure of authority on planet Earth. God has all authority over all the celestial everything. Everything. That is so, I mean, that puts things in perspective. So yes, greater is he who's in us times a thousand galaxies by comparison to the one who's in the world, but the one who's in the world has real power. Look at this verse, Romans 8:37. You know it. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. It's not because you're so awesome, because you and I both know our awesome factor ain't so awesome. But we are more than conquerors through him, through his power, through who he is. I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have greater authority because we are in Christ. We are more than conquerors. You know what a conqueror is? They come in and they slap around a whole nation. I mean, somebody comes in, Attila the Hun comes in like, boom, over, conqueror, you be conquered. Step on your head. He says, we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors. What's more than a conqueror? Who conquers a conqueror? God. And we've been given the authority in Christ to be more than conquerors through him. not through yourself. You are nobody. You have not been perfect. You have been purchased. You've been purchased by one who is better than you. And it's in him that we have hope, grace, salvation, power, faith. It's by him we got everything. In him and through him we have all things. It's by him. Okay? All right, well, let's talk a little bit about some of this stuff. I'm going to start with demons, and then I'll go to angels. Hopefully we can end on a happy note. But you know what? I don't feel like I'm going to be fully equipping you if I've had experiences related to supernatural encounters, and I don't allow you to peer into those, but I will tell you some of the happy news. I feel like I've got to give you the whole counsel, because part of it equips you. Jesus taught about the struggle in the demonic realm. He taught about spiritual warfare. Let's put up that verse, Luke 11, 21 through 22. Luke 11, Jesus talking about the spiritual fight. The same spiritual fight that Paul was talking about in Ephesians 6 that we read a minute ago. Same spiritual fight. He says this, when a strong man fully armed guards his own home, his possessions are safe. But when someone stronger attacks and overpowers him, he takes away the armor in which the man trusted and divides up his plunder. He's talking about the way that the kingdom of heaven and the way that the kingdom of hell work. When the powers of the kingdom of heaven break in against darkness, there's victory. However, when the powers of darkness break in against a weak person that is not embracing the power of God, there's victory from the enemy camp. And there's lots of stuff going on in our culture, even within the church, that we've given over permission to demonic powers to accomplish purposes. You see it in the news all the time. There are things happening that are, it's all about agreement, whether we're giving ourselves over to the Lord or whether we're giving ourselves over to evil practices, because we open doors either way. Okay, I want us to get anchored in the kingdom. I'm gonna say this in a way that might sound a little goofy, but it's been part of my process. Since I came to know the Lord in 1999, it's been part of my process. Whenever there is demonic activity, and it's clear, it's like, oh my gosh, that was a demon. I am massively encouraged, and here's why. The fact that the demonic is real double makes the power of God and the kingdom of God real. How could you even have demons if you don't already first have God who made them? How can there be a pushback from the enemy camp unless there's purposes of God in that situation? Like, the very fact of the demonic realm doing something, to me, authenticates the purposes and the power of God in that moment, in that circumstance, in that people, in that family, all the more. So I want us to get anchored in the kingdom of God. I'm going to give you first one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12. We're not going to spend much time on this, but 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11 says that one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is actually a gift to help you be able to interpret, discern demons and angels, okay? It's called discerning of spirits. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each for the profit of all. To one is given a word of knowledge, to another faith, gifts of healing, miracles, prophecy, to another discerning of spirits. The one and the same Spirit works in all these things, distributing to each one just as he wills. Why am I giving you this? This is not supposed to be a fringe part of Christianity. This is supposed to be as normal as healing or prophecy or a number of other things. There is a gift of the Holy Spirit that the specific purpose of the Holy Spirit giving that gift is, I want you to be able to see when there's demons happening. I want you to be able to discern when there's the realm of angels occurring. I want you to be able to see into the spirit and to discern, is that a human spirit? Because we all have spirits. I have a spirit. Holy Spirit lives in my spirit, but I have a spirit. Sometimes I'm just doing stuff out of my own human spirit. The gift of discernment of spirits allows someone to be able to discern, is that just that person being funny? Are they just being goofy? Is that a human spirit that's acting? Is that a demon spirit? Is that an angelic spirit? Discerning of spirits. It's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Again, I don't have time to give you all the unpacking of this. I recognize I'm going to be kind of like dropping a lot of things that I'm not dealing with in this message, but here's the thing. Before this Sunday, you weren't even thinking about any of these things for the most part. And so it's good that we start down the road, okay? Begin the dialogue, go back and look at some of these passages, spend some time in them. When I first came to know the Lord, I'm fresh off of believing God doesn't exist. I was an atheist. I'm fresh off of believing God is not real. I have a power encounter with the Holy Spirit. I believe God is real. I give my life to Jesus. And I don't have any background. I don't have any filter. I don't know what's real or what's not real. I've never been to church five times in my life. Never listened once. I was just trying to figure out how to cause problems while I was there. And so now I'm in the kingdom and I'm reading the Bible and I'm reading about demons. I'm reading about angels and healing. I'm reading about all kinds of stuff. I'm like, well, when do we start doing this stuff? When do we get to do the stuff that's in the Bible? Like, I want to do the Bible stuff. And so I start praying, God, I want to do the Bible stuff. And I'm just dumb enough to believe that the Bible's real. And so I'm praying, Holy Spirit, speak to me, lead, help me, and let me be right in the middle of your will, but let me encounter whatever it is you want me to encounter. I started to have one of the strangest things occur not long after I gave myself to the Lord. I'd walk into a room. This wouldn't happen every time, but I'd walk into a room and I would be able to feel someone's sin. It was the most bizarre thing ever. I would feel it as though I just did it. I'd walk past somebody and I would feel like I just committed some heinous act. I'd walk past somebody and go, and I'd be repenting, like, God, I'm sorry. Why am I sorry? What did I do? What is happening right now? I was picking up on the sin of that person. And it was actually that I could be able to minister to them. It was actually that I could pray for them, go over and maybe even quietly, kindly call it out in them. There's a lot of ministry that can occur when you're able to discern what's going on in different people's lives. But it was the weirdest thing. Other times I'd walk into a room and I'd feel something totally off. I'd just walk in the room and be like, there is something wrong. Everybody's smiling. Everybody looks. There's something wrong. And I could even start to discern there's like greed in this room. There is greed. I could just feel this greed. I'd feel grieved of the Holy Spirit. Like, why do I feel like there's greed in this room? What a weird thing to feel when everybody's happy. And I would just start to feel it. And I was like, Lord, this is really weird. I had no idea. This is actually part of the way that the Holy Spirit speaks to us and leads us, or at least can. I'd feel a presence come in the room. Let me just tell you this. If you've ever felt the presence of the Holy Spirit, you were actually operating in the gift of discernment of spirits in that moment. Because you were discerning. How would you, as just a dumb old human, know the Holy Spirit was more there, or whatever the term is, than he was yesterday, or than the room outside? How would you ever feel that or discern? How your spirit, you have the Spirit of God living in you. The Spirit was discerning the Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit. This is actually normal Christianity stuff. You're in worship and you're just like, oh, this feels so good. Why does it feel so good? Because you're singing happy songs. It's way deeper than that. You're discerning the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's actually what's occurring. Again, a lot of this is for prayer. Not always. Sometimes you discern stuff just because God knows it. I mean, there's a lot of times where you'll discern things. You won't. It's not even so you can do anything with it. It's just God was thinking it, so he told you. And now you can think it too. And there's a lot of times where you are not supposed to do the call it out and do the big old show. Those are actually pretty rare. But the Holy Spirit will allow you to discern what's happening. I want to give you a really crazy encounter that happened to me. And again, I'm just going to share some stories. And I would encourage you, pray about these. These stories I'm going to share. You pray and go, Lord, is that real? Is that, how does that work? Help me to know how to navigate that information. Holy Spirit, I ask you right now to guard hearts and for you to equip people today, right now, as I share some stories. I pray in Jesus' name that you'd guard and equip. Amen. I was at the Grapevine Mills Mall one time in 2002. I had just been walking with the Lord a couple of years, and I was getting some shoes. And in 2002, the landscape related to the LGBT community looked very, very, very different than it does today. Okay? It was not a normal thing at all to walk around openly in public. That was not a normal thing, especially in Texas. It happened here and there, but it was rare, okay? 2002. I'm in the Grapevine Mills Mall, and I'm about to round a corner at one of the, you know, that's kind of a circle, sort of, and there's kind of corner moments. I'm about to round a corner, and all of a sudden, I feel like I just ran into a brick wall, and I absolutely know without a shadow of a doubt it's the spirit of homosexuality. I know it without a shadow of a doubt. When I say I hit a brick wall, I mean I physically, like, keeled over. I'm just trying to buy shoes. I'm like, Holy Spirit, lay off. Like, I just want to buy some shoes. I feel this thing, and I'm like, I am blown away by what is occurring because I have zero doubt in my mind about what is happening and specifically what spirit I'm encountering. I am crystal clear, but I have no visual yet. I'm about to round a corner. I am frozen, and all of a sudden, this couple, let the reader understand, comes around the corner and glares at me, and it's not them looking at me. We don't fight a battle against flesh and blood. We fight a battle against the spiritual powers. I am being stared at. I mean stared down like, haha, we got you. We sensed your spirit as we were coming around the corner too, and we slimed you ahead of time. Staring through me in the most demonic, piercing gaze, and I'm just sitting there going, the heck? I came for Nikes. Like, this is so bizarre. Like, and I'm just sitting there, and I stand up after like a minute. I mean, if you're a bystander or the dude taking his break, you know, at the Froyo place, watching this, you're like, what is wrong with that guy? You know, because here I am keeled over in the middle of the mall trying to buy some shoes, and then I stand up, and I've got to like catch my breath. I'm like, this is so weird, but you know what? That would be real if we actually are in a spiritual fight and if I found myself in the middle of a battlefield. That would be real. That would be a real response. That could actually be a real thing. That's exactly what happened. And I walked away going, Jesus, what in the world? And I felt the Holy Spirit, just as a little side point, say, this is going to increase greatly. And I was like, well, I hope not, because that wasn't any fun. Well, here we are, 2020, and boy, howdy. All right, I'm going to give you another one. And this one, I'm going to share this with you. I just want to be so transparent. I want to be so honest. I want to be so real. And I think that there's actually, I believe this. I believe there's going to be some ministry moments. Because I'm going to share this story, I believe that there's going to be some ministry moments that are going to occur for some of you. Okay, and I'm sharing it because I believe that in faith. This was 2001. I've been walking with the Lord for a couple years. I am reading my Bible like crazy. I am doing my best to obey Jesus. I am in love with Jesus. I am pursuing God. But my past was pretty colorful. There was a lot of things in my past as a lost person that I did, that I agreed with, that I participated with, the things that they're not good, not healthy, not good. And there's some of those things that have significant impact on us until we deal with them. You know, if you had bad habits when you got saved, more than likely 100% of those bad habits didn't just go away unless you experienced some crazy power encounter from the Holy Spirit that actually was aimed at getting rid of those bad habits. And if so, praise the Lord. But that's not everybody's story. We carry into Christianity some of the baggage that we gave ourselves to in our lost state, okay? And even as believers, you can fellowship with whatever you want, Holy Spirit or demon. I suggest just Holy Spirit. But you can have whatever you want, okay? We are given a free will, and you can have as much of whatever you want. Now, I share all that because I'm in 2001 walking with the Lord, and I'm reading a book about demons. And it's not like glorifying them. It's like how to engage in spiritual warfare. It's like how to be aware of the devil's schemes, that kind of thing. I think it was actually called They Shall Expel Demons. I think that was the name of the book. So I'm reading this book. In the middle of the book, I'm reading this, and all of a sudden, I realize, oh my gosh, like demons are like really, really real. I was like, Lord, have I ever done anything that would like get demonic activity in my life in a way that I don't want? And immediately I felt gripped with something. And I'm sitting there, I can remember where I was sitting in the chair reading the book. And I just was like, okay, I'm gonna pray right now because this feels really weird. There's something really off right now, okay? And I pray and I go, Holy Spirit, if there's any demonic influences that I've given myself to, show me right now. And I expect the answer to be no, but immediately I start to feel a demonic presence resting on me in a profound way. And I am like, oh my gosh, what have I done? And I said, no, I said, in Jesus' name, I said, I'm sitting there and I'm totally overwhelmed, not knowing how to respond to this moment because I feel like the answer is yes, I have actually participated with the demonic realm in some way. And I don't know what to do about it in that moment. And I say, Holy Spirit, help me. And all of a sudden, I start to feel this demon like messing with me. I don't know how else to describe it. Just messing with me. I feel it on my chest. I feel it on my shoulders. And I go, Lord, what do I do? And I feel like Holy Spirit says, pray. And I said, Holy Spirit, show me what this is. And immediately, as soon as I said, Holy Spirit, show me what this is, I had the most crazy encounter happen. And again, I'm sharing this because I think some of you are going to have some ministry moments in your future. As soon as I prayed, Holy Spirit, show me, I heard it wasn't my voice, but it did come out of my mouth. I heard the word hate come out of my mouth in the most foul way I have ever heard that word used. I heard it come out of my own mouth. And I was like, oh no. And as soon as I heard that, I felt the Holy Spirit remind me of so many times in my past where I had listened to hate-filled music and not listened, embraced. Not listened to the music, embraced the message. Embraced the spirit of that message of hate. And I could remember as a lost person, I'm thinking back going, there were so many times I was actually inviting the spirit of hate into my life to empower me. And I could feel it. I had hate deep within me, though it was so suppressed, because I've been walking with the Lord, I've been reading my Bible every day. I felt, and it said, in Jesus' name you go, in Jesus' name, go in the name of Jesus. And as soon as I did, I felt this thing just lift off of me, and I have never felt so light in my life. In one moment, I went from feeling all this disturbance, not feeling good at all, feeling total like, oh my gosh, I've given myself over to a spirit of hate over the years. And all of a sudden, in a moment, I just felt so free. And I was like, oh, Jesus, thank you for loving me enough to show me some inner vows I had made to things I wasn't even living in anymore. I wasn't even resting in anymore. Let me just tell you, when two people make a marriage covenant, if one of them forgets the marriage covenant, it doesn't matter that they forgot it. They made a marriage covenant. There is a marriage covenant that is in action no matter what. That is a marriage covenant. So when two people are in that situation, if you're not thinking about the covenant, it doesn't make the covenant any less real. I had made some covenants with the spirit of hate as a lost person, and I'd never broken those things. I'd never dealt with that. And there was still a measure of influence in my life because I had given permission over. I had chosen one who's made in the image of God. I had chosen, you know what? I am going to participate with that evil spirit, and I'm going to give that evil spirit rule and reign in my life in a way. And so here's this moment. I feel this deliverance. I felt so cured of an evil spirit. That's exactly how I felt. That's the perfect language. I felt cured of an evil. I was like, oh, this is awesome. I felt so free and clear. Oh, it's just so good. Now, again, I don't have all the theology on all that, but I'll just tell you what. I was walking with the Lord for a couple years. And you guys may find that there's some things in your past that you just want to make sure you got clarity on with the Holy Spirit. Next one. I'm in my bed. This was actually in that same season of time. I'm in my bed. I'd done whatever I do, my night routine. I'd prayed some stuff or whatever, read the Bible. Go to bed. And all of a sudden, this is 2001. All of a sudden, I feel totally petrified, fearful. I'm in my room. There's no reason for me to be afraid. I've been in this room every night. I sleep in the same bed every night. I turn the lights off just like I did. I brush my teeth. It's like, why am I petrified in fear right now? And I can remember, I'm laying on my bed and I'm looking at the window and I feel the presence of fear in the room in the thickest way I've ever felt, to the point where I know without a shadow of a doubt, if I turn around, I'm going to see it with my eyes. And I'm like, I can either lay here and get tormented all night, or I can deal with this. I'm finding myself in the battlefield. I'm in that moment. And I turn around, and I had the shock of my life. I saw what was probably about a 5-foot-tall, ashy, it was almost like there was electricity going through it, spirit right there in my closet about 8 feet from my bed. I saw it with my eyes. And I went, ah! And then as soon as I did, I'm like, I know I'm supposed to pray, but I am like, I can't hardly get a word out. I'm like, and I said, in Jesus' name. And as soon as I started saying in Jesus' name, this thing, I'm telling you, I saw its form. It was ashy. I could still see through it. It was, translucent or whatever that would be. It was ashy. It was gray. I saw its eyes. Its eyes looked like these like little white, like crescent moons. It was terrifying. But as soon as I said in Jesus' name, it lunged at me. It went, and it lunged at me. And I was like, in Jesus' name you go. And as soon as I did it, poof, it disappeared right there in my room. Now some of you, because I've talked to you, some of you have had experiences like that before. It's because we're in a spiritual war. That really shouldn't be, I don't want any of you to have that experience because it wasn't a lot of fun. But if you'd all told me that you'd had them, I would not be surprised, because we're in a spiritual fight, a real one, where there are real angels and there are real demons. And on occasion, those real angels and real demons appear and you can see them with your eyeballs. That's biblical. We can see that in the Word over and over. On occasion, they show up in a way you can see them with your eyeballs. I saw them with my eyeballs. I was freaked out of my mind. But I'll tell you what, as soon as I said, in Jesus' name, go, as soon as I engaged the kingdom, because greater is he that's in me than he who's in the world. So when I fought the spiritual fight, I won! If you don't fight the spiritual fight, you lose. And you get tormented all night. And there are some of you that have had that exact experience, except you didn't see it with your eyes, but you laid your head down on your pillow and you were freaked out of your mind and didn't know why. And if you didn't fight, see, we weren't given a spirit of fear. And if you didn't fight, then that night you lost. Just don't lose again. When you feel the spirit of fear, when you feel the spirit of seduction, you feel the spirit of greed, in Jesus' name, go. It's real simple. The way you fight isn't about how cool you are or how smart you are, because you're not cool or smart. But you have the coolest smarty in you, okay? He created all things and he's all power. Use his name. In the name of Jesus, you go. I take authority of you in the name of Jesus. And it has to flee. All right, I got one more negative and then we'll go to a couple positives. I know we're going over. I think this is an important message today. I was in the prayer room one day. And all this, and I was going to preach on a message I'd never preached on before. It's talking about the reality of the great falling away at the end of the age and the capacity for a person that has once said yes to Jesus to be able to fully turn their life around and choose to deny Jesus and run after Satan and actually lose their salvation. I was going to preach that message. I'd never preached it before. And while I was preparing that message, I heard a demon. I heard a demonic voice. And the voice said, if you preach this message, I'll kill you. And I said, in Jesus' name, go. Like, what do I do with that? I was like, holy crud, I don't know. And so I go, but I was sure I just heard it. And I know it wasn't me because I'm happy. I'm like, I'm going to read the Bible. I'm having a good time. If you preach this message, I'll kill you. And I was like, well, then I am for sure preaching this message. Because this must be important. This is another one of those battle line moments. This is another one of those things where this is something that the enemy really does not want said out loud with any measure of clarity, because this is going to be like a real big deal. So I preached the message that night. Feels fine. I don't know. I go home and my appendix ruptures. Now, I don't know my appendix ruptures, because the way that this demonic attack occurred, the pain was masked significantly to the point where my appendix has ruptured within me and I am becoming septic and I don't know it. I think I've got, like, gas pains, you know? I just feel like indigestion, you know? It doesn't hurt, not like that. I go to bed, I'm like, that's kind of uncomfortable. I wake up the next day, still not really feeling great. Another day goes by, I start feeling it. I'm like, man, this doesn't feel really good. And then I start to experience some other symptoms. So then on day two, Amy takes me to the emergency room. We go to the ER. I tell them, you know, I'm like, hey, listen, I'm feeling this. I don't know what's wrong. Every time I try to eat anything or whatever, I throw up. I don't know what's wrong. They're like, okay, well, we'll take some x-rays. They take some x-rays, and they diagnose me. They say, you're constipated. So you need to go home. Here's the most severe laxatives on the market. Take these. You'll be fine. Okay. I've gone to the ER, which equals a large bill, by the way. Okay. They've given me laxatives. We go home. I get worse and worse. I'm not able to digest anything. They misdiagnosed me. The ER, okay? So now I'm like, Amy's like, you know, we should go back or whatever. I'm like, the ER sent me home. And when you're in one of those spiritual fights, sometimes you're not operating in clear discernment. It's really tough because the enemy is like really oppressive, okay? Which is why it's actually good to have family, spiritual family, to help discern what you should do and that kind of thing. I mean, that's very helpful. But so for it's another day or two. And I'm like, Amy's finally like, I am taking you to another ER. I don't care what you do. You're too weak to fight me anyway. Let's go. We go to a second ER. As soon as we get admitted, this is now 4 days of a ruptured appendix. 4 days of a ruptured appendix. They go, wow, based on what you told us and da-da-da, you had a ruptured appendix 4 days ago. You should be dead. I was like, you know, it seems like somebody told me recently they were going to kill me. Wow, that's so weird that you would say I should be dead. I'm really glad I'm not dead. What are you going to do? And like, they're like, you're so dehydrated, we cannot perform surgery on you yet. You wouldn't make it through the surgery. We have to spend another day giving you fluids. I had a ruptured appendix for 5 days before they were able to do surgery on me. Beat the snot out of me. I was on a couch for a month. It was so intense. There's a spiritual fight. There's spiritual warfare. I heard a demon say, I'll kill you. And that night, I almost died. For real. How crazy is that? All right, well, let's change gears. Lord Jesus, thank you for angels. I want you to see this other side of this. So, same story. If you preach this message, I'll kill you. A year or two before that, I had a dream. And in the dream, an angel approached me in the dream, and the gist of it was, this angel said, I'm going to give him, talking about me, $10,000. And I was like, what a cool dream. I'm going to get $10,000. This is going to be awesome. I had no idea I would need $10,000. You know how I needed $10,000? It's called an appendectomy. When you get your appendix removed from you and you're not ready for it, and your insurance doesn't cover it, da 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 da. I had it was more than that, but we got it down to $10,000. I wasn't able to get out of debt for 5 years. Amy and I would do everything. We'd get extra money, we'd put it towards it. That same month, the car would break, the same amount of money we just put towards a debt. And we'd go, no. It happened this way for 5 years, and then someone came up to me one day and gave me $10,000, and it wiped out the debt. An angel encountered me in a dream. Did you catch that? About the same experience that a demon spoke to me, he was gonna kill me. But they were on different days, different time frames, different scenarios, but it was actually related to the same deal. See, because we're in a spiritual fight and the Lord releases angels to help saints. That's what happens. Okay, so one night, we're doing a little night of worship. This was back in, I don't know, 2007, somewhere around there probably. Doing a night of worship. And there's like five or six of us at the house and we're worshiping. Got the worship music turned up real loud. We didn't have any worship leaders at the time. Worship music turned up real loud. And I'm in the kitchen and all of a sudden I feel the presence of like God and angel. I don't know. I feel like holy reverence in my kitchen. Okay? And I'm like, ugh! And I feel something walk past me. You've had that, you know, feel something. When a human walks past you, there's some like wind, you know? And you kind of feel their presence. I don't know what that is, body heat. I don't know. I felt that. I turn around and there wasn't nobody there. And I was like, oh, that's weird. I wonder if that's the Lord. Well, no, I'm just going back to worship. So I'm worshiping. I feel it again. And as soon as I do, I'm struck. And I go, ah, an angel. And as soon as I do, guys, this is bizarre. You just take this to Jesus and pray about it. I get frozen. Like, and I can't live. And the strangest thing in the whole world occurs. This angel physically picks me up off the ground and turns me around to face where his presence is. I was up off the ground, probably 2 inches off the ground, in a frozen state. I'm in a frozen state, and I'm like, there's an angel in my kitchen. I am having an encounter with an angel. I am freaked out of my mind. I'm floating. I'm 2 inches above the ground, and I'm like, this is the weirdest thing ever. And yet totally I'm feeling the presence of God. And I'm like, and then I stare, everybody else is worshiping. They don't even know this is happening. I'm stuck there for minutes in this weird frozen state. And I don't know how else to explain it. Discernment of spirits. I know it's an angel. I know it. So that night afterwards, everybody goes home or whatever. And I tell Amy, I was like, Amy, I had the weirdest thing happen to me. I was sitting in the kitchen, da da da. It was an angel. And I said, you know what? I don't know why, but I really feel like Bernie's going to confirm that it was an angel. There was a guy in our community at the time. His name was Bernie. I love Bernie. Bernie would have encounters with angels, with the Lord, all kinds of weird things all the time. And I don't know what it was. It just, in this moment, I said, I know Bernie's going to confirm it. So she's like, well, are you going to call him? I go, no, I'm not going to call him. Next day, Bernie calls me. I'm telling you, this happened exactly like I'm telling it. Bernie calls me the next day. He says, hey, Brad, I had a really weird thing happen to me last night. And I go, okay. He said, I had an encounter with an angel, and the angel told me his name. He said his name was Samuel. I go, you had an encounter with an angel named Samuel? He said, yeah. He said, after the encounter, he told me he was coming over to your house. I said, what time was that? His exact time. Bernie got done with his encounter. This angel named Samuel told him, I'm going to go over to Brad's. Tell him. You need to tell Brad that this happened. It's important. And Bernie calls me the next day. I mean, the exact. And I'm like, friends, the prayer room missions base has at least one angel named Samuel. Okay? Remember that freeze thing I told you about? Happened to me when we moved into our next building, when we moved into 939 West Pioneer Parkway. It was a time of worship. I go to grab the door, and all of a sudden, I get hit with a wave. Whoosh! Get hit back, and I'm frozen again. In the weirdest position. And I remember Sean Bates coming over to me. for those of you guys who don't know Sean Bates. Sean Bates, like in complete disbelief, I'm frozen, can't move except my eyes. He comes over and would you stand up real quick? You're me, okay? Be frozen in some weird way. There you go. Yeah. Sean Bates is going. What's happening to you? What's wrong with Brad? What's he doing? And I'm totally stuck and can do nothing. And I'm stuck in this frozen state for like 20 minutes until they can finally get me to the floor. And then I'm stuck on the floor for 30. You're good, thank you. Then I'm stuck on the floor for 30 minutes. That's really weird. And yet, I'll just tell you this. Whatever way an angel wants to encounter you, it's a sweet thing. Because you're feeling the presence of the Lord. And it's powerful. A couple more stories and we'll get out of here. One day I'm driving down the road, not so far from my house. You know, they say most accidents happen within 5 miles of the home. I was in the right lane, and all of a sudden, I don't know how to describe this exactly. All of a sudden, I see with my eyes, it was almost like, have you ever had a bird hit your windshield and it leaves a smudge mark? Can you kind of picture the oil on the wings? It leaves kind of a smudge mark. I saw a windshield-sized smudge mark come and hit my windshield and physically blow my car a whole lane to the left. This thing, it's like if a car hit your car and knocked you into another lane. That's what happened to me. Only it's an angel. And I see it and I go, oh my gosh, it's an angel. And then a boom, and I'm in the next lane. As soon as that happened, a car pulled out right there, recklessly wasn't looking where it was going. I would have run right into that thing. I had an angel physically deliver me from a car accident. I mean, it happened. I saw it in the wish. I was like, oh my gosh. And I just thought, ministering spirits sent to serve those that inherit salvation. This is real. This is not fake. This is real. We get over to the prayer room, this new missions base, and then I'll close out. Andy, you can come on up. Make it quick if you would today, because we're way over, and that's all my fault. An angel, we're in the prayer room at the new location. And while we're in there, I'm pacing back and forth. I've never had this happen before. Some of you have. I'm pacing back and forth, and I hear a voice say my name aloud, Brad. And I am fully expecting to turn around and see Andy or somebody, because I heard it out loud with my ear. And I turn around, and I don't see anybody, and then the fear of God hits me, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is another one of those crazy encounters. Like, I'm having an encounter with an angel right now. And as soon as I said that, I said, Samuel, is that you? And I heard him say, Brad, again, so crystal clear. I was filled with the fear of God, filled with the presence of the Lord in the room. And the testimony, to me, this is what it meant. Samuel, because I know the angel's name because Bernie heard it. Samuel followed us over to 939 West Pioneer Parkway because I had the same encounter with him there that I had in my living room. And now here we are at the Nora building, and Samuel followed us there and said my name. This angel has been following us around because angels are ministering spirits sent to help, to serve those that inherit salvation. I give you this message today. I don't know what you're going to do with it. I can just tell you this. It's real. And I want to give you a little bit of a framework for the fact that there are really angels, there are really demons, and if we keep chasing Jesus, we're going to have encounters with both. And we want to know that they're happening and how to rightly respond. When it's an angel, you say, speak, Lord, you're serving. You say, Lord, speak to me. When it's a demonic spirit, you start rebuking that thing in the name of Jesus, and you start asking the Holy Spirit, what do I do about it?
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.